We will begin our tales of the Rabbeim with some stories of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. In the time of the Baal Shem Tov, in the large Jewish city of Vilna, which was renowned for its scholarship, there lived two simple tailors. These tailors were not only not great scholars, but they were not even great tailors. They were not too learned in their craft, and they were not able to fashion beautiful garments, but rather they would make simple clothing for the common people, and they would also sew for the peasants in the surrounding villages. As time went on, these two tailors, who knew each other quite well, decided to become partners and thought that they would have a greater opportunity for making money by leaving Vilna for a certain amount of time and making the rounds of the surrounding villages and hamlets and doing tailoring wherever they would come, and they felt that this would be a way that they wouldn't be able to increase their livelihood. And so off they went, and they spent quite a number of years and journeyed quite far from their original city of Vilna. And after a number of years, they decided that it was time to come home. And as they were on their return journey, they came to a particular village where, as it was their minig, as it was their custom, they called on the Jew who lived there. And this man would earn his livelihood by collecting taxes for the local squire who owned the entire village. And he had a contract with the squire, the Poritz, as he's known, to collect the taxes. When they entered this Jew's home and they visited with him, they noticed that he was down. He wasn't in too good a mood. And they asked him what was it that was troubling him. He refused to tell them. He said, "Oh, how can you possibly help me?" But they said, "Please tell us. Maybe we can help you." And eventually they persuaded him that he tell them of his tzoros, that he tell them of his woes, those things that were bothering him. It ends up that the local poritz, the local squire, was about to marry off his daughter, and he had ordered this Jew, this tax collector, to find him an expert tailor to make up a beautiful, beautiful bridal gown in which his daughter was to be married. This gentleman brought the squire the most expert tailors from all the towns and villages in that area, but the squire was not satisfied by any of them. He said to this man, "What are you doing? Why can't you get me somebody of the quality that I need to sew such a beautiful wedding gown on this very, very special occasion of the wedding of my beloved daughter?" And furthermore, he warned him that if he could not provide him with a tailor as he demanded, he would drive him penniless out of the village. Of course, the Poritzim, the squires, the local squires, had absolute power over all the inhabitants of those places where they lived. The man took this threat quite seriously because this Poritz was not all there, and no tailor which he provided seemed to satisfy his needs. And the tax collector was at wit's end to try to satisfy the whims and the whimsies of his squire, who seemingly was not happy with anybody that was presented with him, to this tailor. Any tailor that was presented to the squire. These two tailors listened very carefully to this story, which was being told by their Jewish friend in the village. And suddenly, a light bulb flickered, and they had this wonderful idea. And they thought, maybe Hashgacha Pratis, it was divine, individual divine providence that had brought them here in this place at this particular time to be able to earn something of substantial amount for their livelihood. And so they said to this gentleman, the tax collector, you know, we are two tailors. Why don't you go and tell the squire that finally you've come across two experts, renowned tailors, who can really sew beautifully, and let him give us a chance to sew for him, and he'll see our work, and maybe we'll be able to make the gown and the whole trousseau and everything which will be done by us, and everybody will profit. You will be saved, the little squire will be happy, and we will make a few dollars out of it. The tax collector laughed bitterly, and he said, do you think I want to make fun of this person, of the man? I just told you that I tried the best tailors in this whole area, tailors who are much better than you, tailors who are truly artisans in their craft, and they weren't good enough for him. So how can I now recommend two tailors like yourselves, itinerant tailors, people who have to make their living not in their own city because they're really not good enough, and they have to go around the countryside sewing rough clothing for farmhands? Are this the type of tailor that I can possibly present to the squire? He'll think that I'm the one that's nuts. But the tailors persisted in their argument. And they said, listen, what possible loss can you have by telling the parts about us? What can you lose? On the contrary, maybe because he's behaving so crazily and he's so bizarre in his conduct that he rejects all the good tailors, all the expert tailors, who knows, maybe he'll like us and he'll give us the job. There's no telling with such a man what he does like and what he doesn't like. And maybe he will be happy with us and we'll all be satisfied with this arrangement. You'll be left out of your difficulties, he will be happy, and we will be happy. Finally, after arguing for a long time with him, the tax collector said, okay, maybe I'll give it a chance. He went to the poets, he went to the squire, and he said, sir, I have two tailors now who I have met, and they may be able to satisfy your needs. Why don't you give them a chance to try out, let them try some, make something for you, and see whether you're going to be happy with their work? And to the amazement of all, the parents not only agreed to allow them to sew a sample, but he was so satisfied with their work that he said, oh, you are the people that I've been looking for. You're the one that I want. I want you to do the wedding gown. I want you to do her whole wardrobe. I want you to make the wardrobe for myself and for the entire family. He gave them work and work for them to do, which would pay them very, very well. They worked very diligently, prepared all the garments that they were supposed to do, and were ready to leave. The poets thanked them kindly for their work, which they were doing on the premises. He paid them very, very handsomely. And before the tailors left, he called this Jewish tax collector to thank him for having found such expert tailors who met his exacting specifications. And thanking him for finding these tailors, he said, you know what? now that you did that, I'm going to allow you to retain your home and earn your livelihood as before, and I will not throw you out. The wife of the Poritz, seeing how happy these two Jews were about the news that their friend, the Jewish tax collector, would not be thrown out of his home and not be impoverished, and he would still have his livelihood, called to her husband, and he said to the Poritz as follows, "Surely you noticed how overjoyed these Jews were that our tax collector is not going to be thrown out of the village after all. Why don't you tell him about our other Jewish tax collector, the one we did throw into the dungeon? They may feel like paying a ransom in order to free him." Heeding his wife's counsel, the squire told the tailors that there was a fellow Jewish co-religionist of theirs who had not paid his dues for a number of years, and for which reason the squire had imprisoned him and his entire family in his underground dungeon. They were there for quite a long time already, and life, of course, there was horrendous, and they were begging to be allowed to die. So horrible was their life in this dungeon. "What does he owe you?" the tailors asked the Poritz. "Oh, he owes me 300 silver rubles." One of the tailors turned to his friend, this fellow tailor, and said, "Well, what do you say about this?" "What can I say?" said the other one. "If it was a question of a smaller amount, I would agree that we should share the very special mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, redeeming captives, and we would take part in this mitzvah. But can we possibly give such an amount as 300 silver rubles? That amounts to a fortune. We've been working like dogs for who knows how long to amass some money and give it all away." After thinking for a few moments, the first tailor said, "You know, I'd like to dissolve our partnership. Let's work out how much my share comes to, and I'll take it in cash." They began figuring out how much they earned, and it ended up that each man's share came exactly to 300 rubles. Now, this tailor was ready to take these 300 rubles and give it away to save this man and his family from prison. When his friend saw that he was about to give away, that his other tailor friend was about to give away his entire earnings, he said to him, "What are you doing? Why are you going to do such a thing? You've worked and you've toiled for years. You need the money desperately." But as much as he pleaded with him, the tailor was strong and firm in his conviction that for a mitzvah like Pidyon Shvuyim, like saving captives, of redeeming captives, he was ready to give away his entire fortune and become once again an abject pauper. The money was divided up, and the first tailor gave the Poritz his 300 silver ruble. As soon as these poor prisoners were freed and were told who was responsible for their being freed, they embraced the tailor with tears of joy and gratitude, telling him and thanking him for the wonderful deed that he had done, a bit longer languishing in that underground smelly dungeon would have been too much for their lives, and he literally saved their lives. And they thanked him from the bottom of their hearts. And the tailor, too, rejoiced in their happiness, and he was happy that he had the opportunity to save these lives. These two tailors then continued on their journey back to Vilna. And finally, at length, they arrived in their hometown in Vilna. Now, the one tailor who brought his savings with him soon opened up a business of ready-made clothes. He didn't have to do any tailoring, and people wouldn't have to worry about the poor quality of his own tailoring. He became prosperous, and he did very, very well, and things were going swimmingly for him. While his friend, who had come empty-handed, had life very tough. He fell on hard times, and he really was having a very, very difficult time making a living. He would walk around stooped and broken, and he was so sad at his present lot that people nicknamed him the tailor with the very, very sad face. He stopped doing his tailoring, so sad was he, and when he was overcome with hunger, he would ask people, passerbys, for tzedakah, for charity. And what he had lived through, nobody knew, nobody was aware of this great mitzvah that he had done, and which now had seemingly brought him poverty. And people would take pity on him, and they would give him some meager coins, and this would be barely enough for him to buy bread to satisfy his hunger. One day, when he stopped one of the inhabitants of Vilna in the street and asked that person to please, please give him some money to buy bread because he's truly hungry, the man asked him, "And if I do give you tzedakah, what's going to happen then?" "Well," he said, "then I can give you my bracha, I can give you my blessings." The man smiled to himself. "What? The blessings of some beggar or something?" But nevertheless, he gave the tailor a few coins, and he forgot about this incident. Now, this man who had given the donation, he was a flax merchant, and he used to travel periodically to the farms of the various landowners who would sow their land with flax. He would buy up their flax, and he would bring it back to town, and there he would sell it. On the day that he had met that tailor and he had given him the few coins and he had received the tailor's blessing, he had to go on that day to the farm of a particularly difficult customer with whom he always had trouble in clinching a deal and finalizing the purchase. This time, strangely, however, everything went smoothly. The transaction was completed quickly and profitably, and it went as no other time before. The flax merchant was wondering to himself, what was it that caused this day to be so different from all other days, and that this deal with this troubling, tough customer should all of a sudden have gone so smoothly? Perhaps, after all, it was the bracha, the blessing of that pauper who he had given a few coins to so that the man should be able to buy some bread. Maybe it was that blessing that was helping him. Possibly. But he didn't investigate this too far. He didn't share this thought with others. He kept it to himself. After some time, this flax merchant had to go out again to visit another homestead, another farmstead, and purchase flax. And this time, before he left, he made a point of seeking out the tailor, giving him some tzedakah, and he asked him for his bracha. The tailor gave the bracha willingly, and again, things worked out very well for the merchant. Seeing that it was clearly this poor man's brachas, his blessings, that made him prosper more and more, the merchant made it a rule to do the same thing, to repeat the same procedure before every business venture and before every journey. And within half a year, by constantly giving tzedakah to this poor tailor, tailor who was known as the tailor with the sad, sad face, the merchant became a wealthy man. It happened that once at a Sudas Mareyim, a festive meal of family and friends that was thrown by the tailor, that was thrown by the merchant in honor of his becoming so wealthy, that this merchant was sitting surrounded by relatives and friends and flushed with success and happy with the l'chaims and the wine that he had drunk at this meal, he told the people the secret of his success, that there happened to be this poor tailor who he has been giving money to on a regular basis, and who in return has been blessing him on a regular basis. And since he has been giving him money constantly and receiving his constant blessings, things have been going wonderfully for him in all his business affairs. He asked the people there, "Please don't let anybody know about this secret. I don't want it to get out how I have been so successful. I don't want this tailor to be surrounded by others who are going to be bothering him and hindering him. And if he shares his blessings, maybe I won't get my share. Keep it to yourselves." But since, as the Gemara says, a friend has a friend, and a friend's friend also has a friend, and one person told it to the other in secret, and the other person told it to the next person in secret, and all the people were repeating the secret only to their immediate friend as a secret, soon enough the secret was no longer a secret, and in no time word got around that the blessings of this melancholy man, the tailor who was known as the tailor with the sad, sad face, actually came true, that when he would give a blessing, the blessing would come to fruition, and the blessing would come to fruition most quickly. Once this was known, people thronged to the tailor from all sides, asking his brachas, and the tailor would gladly give his blessings, and the people were astounded and delighted to find that, in fact, the blessings would be fulfilled. Now, at this time, two of the disciples, two of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, happened to be passing through the city of Vilna. They, too, had heard from the people in the city about the tailor and his wonderful brachas, about his wonderful blessings, and on their return home to Mezhebish, where the Baal Shem Tov was, they told their Rebbe, the holy Baal Shem Tov, about this phenomenon. Here is a simple Jew, seemingly unlettered, and not that spiritual and holy an individual, and nevertheless, whoever he blesses, and whenever he blesses, these blessings come true and come into being very speedily. The Baal Shem Tov, hearing this, asked them to try to bring this man with them next time they come home from Vilna. And indeed, on their next visit there, they succeeded in telling this individual about this holy, great tzaddik, the Baal Shem Tov, and that it would be well worth his time to pay a visit to the Baal Shem Tov. As a matter of a fact, the Baal Shem Tov is looking forward to meeting with him, and it would be the greatest schus, the greatest merit for this tailor, that he should go and visit with the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov should see him as the Baal Shem Tov has requested. And after speaking to him for a while, they succeeded in persuading the tailor to come with them to the Baal Shem Tov. They traveled back from Vilna to Mezhebish, and they came into the Beis HaMedrash of the Baal Shem Tov. And when the Baal Shem Tov met the tailor with a sad, sad face, the Baal Shem Tov asked him, "Tell me, what schus, what merit can you possibly have? What virtue you have which brought about that you should have this special gift granted to you, min hashamayim, that heaven granted you this special gift that those who you bless have the blessing fulfilled?" The tailor shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know. And he had no idea that the incident of the ransom had anything to do with his ability to give brachas. Possibly he didn't even know that his blessings were always fulfilled. Whatever the case, the Baal Shem Tov wanting to know what merit brings about such tremendous virtue that a simple man can bless and the blessings be fulfilled, the Baal Shem Tov asked him to please tell me your life story and tell me what happened throughout your life, and maybe I'll be able to figure out, although maybe you don't know what special thing you did, but I'll be able to figure out what it was that you did that merit such great blessings. The tailor then proceeded to tell the Baal Shem Tov about all his entire life, his ups and downs, his trials and tribulations, about the difficulty of earning a livelihood, and about how he left the town of Vilna with a friend to go from place to place to seek his fortune, and finally came to the story about this crazy poritz, a crazy landowner who wanted a special tailor or two to make the wedding garments for his daughter and then for the entire wedding party, and how the squire was happy with their work, and then how, seeing their joy about the Jews' release, the squire had said, maybe you want to ransom the Jews, and how he said, okay, I'm ready to take my share, and he used his 300 silver rubles to save this family, the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, the mitzvah, the good deed of ransoming those who are captive. And as soon as he came to that point, the Baal Shem Tov said, that's it. That is the thing that has done it. You, because of this mitzvah, have merited this wonderful blessing from above that you be able to bless others. Although the tailor had this great merit from above because of his Pidyon Shvuyim, nevertheless, he was still a very, very sad man. And the Baal Shem Tov said, let me conclude the blessings from above. He asked the tailor to stay with him in Mezhebush, and he took the tailor into his hands. First he cured him of his morishchule, of his melancholy, and he began teaching him Torah, both Nigla de Torah and Pnimisa Torah, both the revealed and the hidden aspects of the Torah. The Baal Shem Tov truly opened up this simple man's eyes, and he became, instead of a simple man, a true Talmud Chochem, a true scholar, and a true holy man. And eventually, the tailor, with the help of the Baal Shem Tov, became a very great tzaddik himself, and in fact, wrote a book on Kabbalah, on the sacred mysteries of the Torah. And the Baal Shem Tov said that all this came about because he performed the mitzvah, the commandment of Pidyon Shvuyim, with his last penny and with complete self-sacrifice, and because of that he was richly rewarded from heaven for his selfless deed.